Good morning. I thought I'd read just a little bit to get us started here. Okay. Self-knowledge does not depend upon reasoning or the practice of meditation or the instructions of a guru, or anything in space or time. I am by nature that absolute knowledge, the reality which is innate, eternal, and boundless as space. That is what I am. Good morning. Okay, so our theme for today is be not a slave to thought. Liberation, okay? You have no master. So rest back in reality that there is no person here to be speaking, and there is no person there to be listening. Supreme Spirit is. So follow a breath and just be aware of a breath coming and going. Let go of mind. Awareness does not need thoughts to be awareness. Relax into the flow called breathing. And also in the knowing that you are not doing the breathing. The breathing is just happening, and you are aware of it. Let go of thoughts or feelings or sensations. Just watching, but not doing. Be as you truly are, empty. Leave everything. Leave every thought, every idea. Leave, I am. Leave God. Leave consciousness. Empty, empty, empty. There is only you here and now, since before time. You were present, and you are the only presence now. Having a form and a name does not make you a person. Only consciousness is, and you are that. So be still. Take a breath and settle back. We do not have to seek enlightenment. That state that we call being what we hope already are. There is no one that needs to seek for enlightenment. Why? It feels like I do. Because light is our nature. We are the essence, the source. Being is already the light or enlightened or the state of enlightenment. The self that is, the presence that is already in a state of enlightenment, or what we call enlightenment, knowing self. And it is just as we do not have to seek happiness, do not have to seek peace, we do not have to seek serenity, nor joy, nor bliss, because these two are the naturalness of our being. Okay. So then, the light or awareness or knowingness is our nature. It is innate within us now, right now. Okay. So if this is the case, and it is, or if this is the truth, and it is, so then why is there any seeking of any nature? Not just enlightenment, but the seeking of any nature going on at all. So let's just take a moment and ask, is there still in me a sense of seeking that I am taking action on, such as spending time on the thought merry-go-round of pondering as to why I don't have it, this something that is being sought. And spending time in thoughts as to how can I get it? Subtle thoughts, perhaps, but still giving a sense that something is missing. Something isn't quite complete yet. Something is not yet full. And thoughts that keep you looking for a sign or something that tells you are already there. So when we give our attention, and that attention, if you do not yet know it, is a power. So you give your power, or if we give our power, our attention, and that power is devotion. So we give devotion to thoughts. We give them our power. We give them our attention. And in doing that, we then give our attention and power to what we call the outer pictures. When we give our power away to thoughts, we give our devotion to thoughts, we become mesmerized by the thoughts and the pictures. And in doing that, we then fall asleep to the real. So we are hypnotized by the action of giving our attention, our devotion to something out there. And thoughts are like out there. If we think for a moment, it is the same as if watching a movie. We will fall asleep to the presence that is present and give our full attention to what is out there on the screen. We become drawn in to that movie. It seems we become a part of that movie. If there is a sad scene or an unhappy scene, we may begin to cry. If there seems to be injustice, we may get upset and angry at that injustice. Our full devotion is to that movie and what is going on in the movie. But it is the thoughts that pull us there. It is the thoughts' interpretations. It is the thoughts' opinions that pull us there. And we are so asleep at that point, we do not even know that thoughts' mind has become our master. We are in that dream of believing what the thoughts are saying. And we put the thoughts and those beliefs before ourselves. We, in an essence, create that false idol of thoughts, opinions, and beliefs, and give our attention to that. So we become mesmerized and we fall asleep to the real. And the real is our natural state of enlightenment. And we fall asleep to that. And in falling asleep to what is already here, of course, we do not see What is already here? We see what mind, thoughts, and beliefs are telling us is there. A person, I am sad, I am hungry, I am tired. Look at that over there. Why are they doing that? They should be ashamed of themselves. And oh, look at that type of attention to the pictures that are presented. And it may be that we have a habit of dwelling on the past. So we give our attention, we give our power, and we give our devotion. Where your attention is, there goes your devotion to the thoughts about the past, dwelling in the past. So we become entrapped. We become, again, mesmerized by the belief systems of past and the memories and the experiences. Oh, I remember when that happened. I was la da 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 da. All this time, forgetting that only God is present and God has no past, God has no future. That essence, that source, that light, that present is what we call now. And if you are dwelling in the past, if you are mesmerized by the past and its stories, you are not where God is. That's only a saying. You are always where God is, but it's not recognized at that point. And it is the same with the future. We jump into some future state, some future where enlightenment is going to be. The future where some kind of attainment is going to happen, and wondering what it's going to be like when it does happen, we are now enslaved by this future idea. And where is God in this future? Your attention and devotion are on the thoughts looking to the future. So your thoughts may be thoughts all over the place. I think some of us have, well, all of us have experienced that. But to see that clearly is another thing. Okay. And sometimes it may feel as if you are trying to remember something. Most of you probably don't remember when you're trying to remember a phone number. You know, the old dial up, and you're trying so hard. Oh, I know that number. You know, I think there were only like 4 or 5 digits at the time, but you couldn't remember it or a name. Gosh, I know that name. I know it. And it just won't come. It just, you're trying so hard to remember. You're seeking so diligently within mind to remember. But you just can't bring it up to the forefront. Okay. just won't come. But when we give up the struggle to remember, usually what happens is it pops right in. As so with your natural state of being. When we give up listening to thoughts as if they were real and stop the seeking of our enlightenment of ourself. We call that surrender, and thoughts, or what we usually call ego, either doesn't like that idea, thought, or process, or it will jump right into it. With the idea that it is going to get something by doing it. But surrender is not of mine, and surrender is not of this personal idea that we think we are. Surrender is seeing clearly. Surrender is seeing that thoughts are mesmerizing and hypnotizing. Surrender is seeing that there's no need to seek because I already am. That's surrender. To stop seeking what already is. That's surrender. To see any idea that I need to attain, or to work harder, or to meditate more, or to get another book, or add another hour to listening, to see that clearly. And stop that seeking for a purpose. That is surrender. When we do this surrendering into what is, we then find that everything is there awaiting our attention. Why would there ever be any seeking for what is already right here? If we are truly looking for something, then we have to go where it is. There is no thinking required for enlightenment. There is no doing required for the state of enlightenment. And when we surrender to that, we come out from under the mesmerism. We come out from under having thought mind be our master and tell us what to do and when to do it and how to do it, where to do it, and with whom to do it with. So again, no thinking is required. And no doing is required. And in that state, then we come to the beautiful understandings of the heart. We are resting in our naturalness of light. Now, the only reason we even take up this seeking take up a desire to have enlightenment is only because we believe in the thoughts that say we do not have it. That would be the only reason there would ever be any seeking whatsoever. Is because in a belief we do not have it. So again, seeing clearly, the majority of thoughts are lying thoughts when it comes to the self. To see that clear seeing. And it does seem that when we are running after it, when we are so determined to find and live our enlightenment, that it becomes even more elusive. Why? Because when we are trying to get something, there is the presumption that not only that we don't have it, but it's somewhere out there. And the thoughts will maintain that presumption until you see clearly. I already am. I need not seek. So, often I hear Mary, I have been reading for years. I have read all of this and that. I have attended a lot of this and that. I have listened to hundreds of hours of this and that for many, many years. I have been doing this. And still do not feel as if I am enlightened. But the person that is doing and the person that is seeking is never going to feel enlightened. There is no person to feel enlightened. So, through all of those years, the thoughts of mine are maintaining their mastery. Again, maybe I should read some more, or maybe I need to work a little harder, or maybe I need to add more meditations to my week. But it's all in the hopes of getting something. Meditate 24/7, but with no desire to attain, achieve, or to get. Be in the silence 24/7, but with no desires to attain, achieve, or to get. Be still in the heart of awareness, but with no desire to achieve, to attain, or to get. Never allow thoughts to encourage you to do anything to achieve, to attain, or to get. You already are. Again, to be seeking enlightenment or the knowing of God or seeking the knowing that I am the presence is like a fool's journey, a fool's errand to seek what already is. Because the seeking again, it is saying, I do not have it. That it is somewhere in the future. But it isn't here and now because I'm not feeling it. The presence being here and now does not depend on how you are feeling as a person. In fact, I don't think it even cares how you are feeling as what you would call person. It is your nature to be present now. You cannot not be present right now. Whether there's a feeling of it or not is immaterial. Feelings, sensations, and thoughts are just outward appearances. Do not put your faith nor trust in thoughts. So it isn't the objects out there. It isn't the thoughts and the thoughts or the feelings or the sensations out there. And it isn't any appearance out there that are a distraction for you, a distraction from being aware of being present. It's not any of that. It is the thoughts you give your attention to about that. The thoughts are the distraction. Thoughts are the temptations. So it's the thoughts you give your attention to and entertain in regard to the appearances. And the appearances always include feelings, sensations, thoughts. So the thoughts given an authority as your master are what draws you out, as it were, into a world of appearances, seeming appearances and seeming separation. There is no separation, but thoughts will present to you and make you feel, or no, not make you feel, give you a feeling that there is separation. And you have to look clearly at that temptation to follow them. So we learn to not let our thoughts be a distraction. And we don't allow them to sway us and take us away from being attuned and resting in the peace of our being. So, when thoughts are given your attention and devotion over the presence of who you are, then thoughts are your master, not the things of the world, but the thoughts about them. And once you have seen this, then you are free. You can live free. Free of being enslaved by thoughts, opinions, feelings, and sensations. You are naturally free. See that clearly. Okay. Okay. Okay, how we doing? Okay. You have the floor. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Here is afternoon already.
Okay.
I was wondering, what about when I have a wish, for example, to wish at a different place or do another work? When is it distracting and when is it a real impulse?
You
Do
say,
you understand what I mean?
I think you're saying that when I have a wish to do something or have something, when is that wish real and when is it a distraction? Is that what you're
Yes, something like that. When I want to change something in my life, then it's on the one hand, I might not s see the completeness and the wholeness that is already here. But at the same time, there might be another, yeah, it might be a real wish, a real impulse to change something. So
If oh, go ahead.
I was just getting a little bit confused about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it is a wish or a desire to get something, oftentimes we want a new job, we want a new relationship, all with the desire that it's going to bring happiness. Okay, that's not real. Happiness is your nature. You're not going to find it by attaining something or working hard to get something to bring you happiness. So if you have a wish and it is at the level of thoughts and attaining something to make you feel something that is already your nature, then it's not real. I often say every desire is part of the package because every desire brings suffering with it, because we desire to get something that we already have. And then to not get that brings the suffering. Now, if it's a real impulse, if it's an impulse and that impulse is spontaneously moving the body to action, then you will feel that, but you're going to feel that within. There will be a peace within. There will be a joy and a serenity within as that movement unfolds. There will be no efforting. There will be no trying to do or trying to get. There will just be this spontaneous unfoldment, and you become aware of that. But you're also aware that there is a great peace and a great joy, and no efforting, no worrying, no fear. No doubts. It's just a spontaneous movement from within. And that will take place. If you are feeling the desire or you're feeling the wish, then you're going to have to sit with that and recognize, is this joyful feeling? Is it a free feeling? Is it a peaceful feeling? Or does it feel as if I have to make something happen? Or if I have to change something, and only you are going to know, but you have to take that within and sit with it quietly in the silence. If it is to be, it will be. If it's not to be, it will not be. So if it is not to be, then your efforting to make it happen will be a lot of hard work. If it is to be, then things will just start to unfold naturally. Okay, so take that within to the silence and see how it feels within. Does it feel like freedom and peace and joy? That will be your answer.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
Okay.
you very much.
You're welcome, love. Good question. Thank you. It's wonderful because when these questions are asked, I feel that it's benefit to not only the group here, but it's going to be a benefit to those that find the tapes at the website and begin their listening and their studying is going to be helpful for them as well. So thank you.
Mary, can I ask a question?
Yes, love.
It's a little confusion about the meditation of last week about the scriptures. Like Jesus said, my father works all the time, so I have to work also. And in my case, it's like there's never a movement or an action or an impulse as a sequence to the question that the lady asked early. So can you answer to that question? What did he mean with my father works also, so I ha all the time, so I have to work also?
I think the term work is not how, from the personal level, we would interpret that. Meaning, digging ditches or making beds or going to work every day. If you know that it's God going to work every day, there really is no work at that point. If you're in a state of separation, then you're going to feel like I am working. But God does the work. Consciousness does the work. Consciousness is where what is happening happens. And that could be termed the work of God. And you being the I that is the presence of God, you work. I'm doing air quotes here. You work also. But it's not in the vein of I get up and get dressed and do this or do that as a separate something that has to do this working. No, you are not that. Because whatever God is, that's what I am. And if God doeth this, then I also doeth this. So in that oneness, then, okay, if there is anything to be performed by this body form, it will take place spontaneously. So that would be the Father doing the work. Thou doest all that is given me to do. Because why? Because I and you are one. Okay. You just can't look at it from that word work as being what we normally interpret that word to mean.
Okay, thank
Whatever, yeah, whatever is being done, the sun is shining. That's God's work, I guess, you could call it. Then that is my work as well. There, it's just stating that there is just one here, one presence.
Okay, but when I read the sentence, it's like an energy of aliveness, and like when I follow the meditations, it's like very passive. Is the fact that I call it passive a judgment of the mind? Because I don't feel this aliveness. It's like the days are very passive. There's no energy, or it's like I'm always waiting is not a word, but I don't feel this aliveness in this being still.
But again, you have to ask who does not feel the aliveness? This persona, that I state that I am, or is it God saying I don't feel my own aliveness? Who is making the statement? What is making the statement? It's the mind. It
Okay,
is
it's a judgment.
thoughts. It is thoughts.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
So,
you, Mary.
yeah. It is the thoughts that are making the statements. It is, and then we, again, we become so engrossed with the thoughts, because they are not our thoughts. They are not your, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Thoughts just rise and fall in consciousness. Okay. There's no person for the thoughts to belong to. It's like, again, the bubbles rising in a champagne glass. Okay. They don't belong to anyone. They are just bubbles rising in a champagne glass. Thoughts are like these bubbles rising and falling, rising and falling. They get your attention because we have feelers out of personal ideas and personal beliefs and personal memories. So when thoughts come along that fit into our agenda, we say, this is my thought. This is mine. I am thinking this. Okay. But you're
Very
not,
clear.
yeah, you're not thinking it. You're just aware of it. There is no thinker. There is no person here to be thinking. We string these thoughts together. The thoughts come and we feel, or we are mesmerized into believing that we are thinking. Just as when the body moves, the thoughts rise and we are mesmerized into thinking and believing that we are doing. But the body is just, the hand is just rising. The hand is going up, the hand is going down. I didn't do anything. The thoughts would tell me, or tempt me to believe that I have done something. Or they would tempt me to believe I'm thinking, I'm doing. No. That's just more hypnosis of thoughts. Yes, love.
I find myself taking thoughts and following them, then I recognize it. And so there's this, it's kind of like an intermediary step for me of, I take thought, I believe it, I need this. And then I go, then I sit down and I ponder that, but it's this, going out and then coming back.
And you are aware of doing that.
And it's like this amazing thing to be able to see that.
Yes,
Like,
yes.
because I go off, I think I need this. I grab it. I pay for it. I get it. And then I go, who's doing that? It's like a, I don't know, it's like this intermediary step for me.
It's yeah, it's just a happening, yeah.
It's just happening, but it
Right,
feels
right.
like I can't get mad at myself. I, you know what I mean? I kind of laugh at it.
Yes,
It's
yes,
like,
yes,
look at you. You think you
yes.
need that and you have it right here. So I just thank you a lot for today.
Well, you're welcome a lot
As
for today.
always, as always. You
Thank
just,
you.
yeah.
Thank you, love.
Thank you.
So for today, it's just a way of helping to bring your pure divine attention to what might possibly still be taking place for you that you would like to move beyond. And we move beyond being enslaved by thoughts or being entrapped or enchanted by thoughts, by seeing clearly what is taking place, that the thoughts are temptations most of the time to keep me in a state of enslavement. So it's looking at what's taking place, recognize what's happening, taking that breath. Here's our real little word flag. Got to get over. And taking a breath and stepping back for a moment and just saying, ah, just wait a minute here. Okay. And giving the attention to the peace that is present. Giving attention to the heart, to the center, to the light that is present. As Leah said, as if the persona is saying, I'm not feeling it. Okay. If it's a thought, that persona thought of I'm not feeling it is a thought. It is a temptation to a belief that I don't have it yet. And you do. And seeing that clearly will help bring up from within what is already there. But you have to stop veiling it over by believing the temptations. That's your job. Stop. Stop veiling what is already present by believing the thoughts that rise up. Do not be devoted to thoughts. Do not give your power to thoughts. Well, they don't have any power, but we will believe that they do if we give them our attention. When you give up this personal idea of being a person, when you see the fallacy of it, that it's just made up of thoughts and beliefs and opinions, okay, it can just dissolve away. What keeps the persona as a semi-presence is your belief in the temptations that there is a person. So see the thoughts for what they are. They're not intended to be your master. Okay? That's not the intention of them. They come as an opportunity. To see clearly, to see past them, to see through them, to see them as clouds or shadows, but to see them as nothing that has any power over you. Okay?
Mary, is what you say right now what it means to be an authority? Or to take authority, is this what it's meant?
To take authority, I don't mean to take authority over mind as if you were going to whip mind into submission. I take it as the authority that there is nothing that has a power over me, and I don't have to whip or get rid of anything. I just know it has no power. Let it be, let it do what it does, let it be as it is. It has no authority over me. And thoughts are nothing. So I need not have authority over thoughts. There is nothing to have authority over me. And you might say then, why would I even need authority? Nothing
Yes.
has any power over me nor against me.
Thank
You
you.
see that? Okay. All right. Anyone else? Okay.
Just thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, love. You're welcome. Okay. So, I guess we'll call this one complete. So let us pray. Most beloved self, I am the freedom I thought I was seeking. I am the love I thought I was looking for. I am the wisdom and the light I thought I had to attain. I am the peace beyond understanding that I thought I needed to acquire. I am already the divine presence, and there is no thought greater than what I already am. Most beloved, I rest in truth, and I am blissful, happy, and free. Amen. Om Namaste.